You're listening to The Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Luxury Lifestyle Design Radio, Episode 72, Create Your Own Flight Plan.
Aloha, and welcome to The Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio. Productively live and work from anywhere in the world. Now, here's your host, Erica Duran.
Aloha, escape artists, e komo mai. Welcome to the Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Luxury Lifestyle Design Radio, Episode 72, Create Your Own Flight Plan. I'm broadcasting today from Paris, Las Vegas in Nevada, just a change of scenery. Today, I have a really special guest who has had so many amazing life and business experiences. I don't know how he packed it all into his life. Today's guest is Dave Sanderson. Dave Sanderson is the managing partner of his firm, Dave Sanderson Speaks Enterprises, based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. On January 15, 2009, Dave was the last passenger off the plane that crashed into the Hudson River, best known as the Miracle on the Hudson, and was largely responsible for making sure many others made it out safely. In addition to speaking and training, Dave conducts workshops and has recently released his book titled Moments Matter, in which he discusses how by employing 12 key resources that he learned from his 30 years in sales and being head of security for Anthony Robbins was a main factor that turned a potential tragedy into the Miracle on the Hudson. And how does one take a potentially tragic experience and turn it into an opportunity to grow and contribute? He and his wife, Terry, reside in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they have four children, Chelsea, Colleen, Courtney, and Chance. So busy guy, right? I honestly have a real fascination with disasters, and I know that might sound kind of weird, but I think that in those life and death moments, people's real personality comes out really clearly, and that is what fascinates me. Now, a major movie just came out about the Miracle on the Hudson incident called Sully, starring Tom Hanks. And I just saw it last night and recommend it to anyone to see just a little glimpse of what was really going on and what the challenges were. And it's really great if you stick around to the end, they show all the survivors, the actual people and all the survivors. So that was a really great part of the movie. So you ready to meet Dave? First, we're going to take a few moments of our own to hear a quick word from our sponsor. Want to design your own freedom-based luxury lifestyle? To get started, you can apply for my complimentary Aloha strategy session. Aloha, I'm Erica Duran, a freedom-based luxury lifestyle designer and high-level business coach and mentor. This complimentary Aloha strategy session is right for you if you're tired of piecing together all that free stuff online and you're ready to implement your own systems and unique way of living and working. You desire to work productively from anywhere in the world and achieve that laptop lifestyle, but you don't want to spend all your time chained to your desk. And you're so done being baffled by technology. You want to earn at least $5,000 to $20,000 per month consistently in your consulting, coaching, training, or other entrepreneurial venture. You see other people charging premium prices for their programs and services, and you just can't seem to crack that code. You desire a high-level coach to peel back the curtain and share all her secrets. Does any of this sound like you? If so, I'd love to invite you to take advantage of this limited time offer today and apply for your complimentary Aloha strategy session with me by going to ericaduran.co/aloha. A lifestyle of freedom and luxury is waiting for you, so let's not waste any time. Never settle. Mahalo.
Want to partner with me?
Would you like to get your business showcased in front of thousands of productive-minded lifestyle entrepreneurs and travelers? Why not become a sponsor of The Erica Duran Show, freedom-based lifestyle design radio? Go to ericaduran.co/sponsor to see if this partnership is right for you. Mahalo. All right, escape artists, today we have Dave Sanderson on the line. Are you there?
I am. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's great to have you. And I know you're so busy right now with the movie out and everything. So I described everything that you do in the intro to the show. But if you wouldn't mind just really quick in your own words, giving us a little taste of who you are and what you're all about.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Eric. I have had over 30 years of sales and sales management experience. When I got out of college, I went to hotel restaurant because my dad told me I had to get a job. So I got a job, but then quickly moved to sales and sales management. So during that time, I was also the head of security for a gentleman named Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. I traveled with Tony around the world and supported his mission to make sure he could fulfill his mission on stage. But as January 15, 2009 came, things sort of changed for me where during the Miracle on the Hudson, I was the last passenger out of the plane, and all of a sudden, my life started taking a different direction.
Such an amazing story. And we have so much in common with the hospitality background and the sales background. So I would love to hear just a little bit more about your hotel restaurant experience. And my audience loves to travel. So, you know, maybe something, what did you learn from that experience in working with hotel restaurant, or, you know, the story about why you left that industry?
So as I mentioned, I didn't know anything about the hotel restaurant industry. My dad told me I had to get a job. So I started out in the food and beverage area and started from scratch learning that side of the business. But as I started growing and getting my career started growing up, and I started moving from assistant to, you know, to the hotel restaurant management, then hotel restaurant management, my company was sold from, I was at Howard Johnson, and Marriott purchased them. Mm-hmm. So then I became with the Marriott brand, and then I started working my way up the ladder through Marriott. And my charge at Marriott was going into new stores or renovating stores, changing them from Howard Johnson to a big boy concept, or just opening up new stores. But mm-hmm. when my last stop was in Vienna, Virginia, and I was actually renovating that store at that point in time, and it was Christmas time. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in Northern Virginia during Christmas. It's pretty hectic around the Tyson's Corner area. But our store was getting slammed. And you know, at that point in time, it was, you know, you're short-staffed anyway. And all of a sudden I look up, and Bill Marriott and his entourage are standing at our door, because Marriott's headquarters are in Bethesda, Maryland, which is right across, you know, from Northern Virginia. And he was doing his meet and greets as he would do on occasion, go and visit stores. So I was the lucky straw that day. Oh. And when he came in, all stuff was breaking loose. We didn't have enough help. And I knew who he was. I greeted him, and he looked at me and said, "Do you need any help?" And I quickly had to decide between two directions. Do I say yes and think that I can't handle it? Or B, no, and he sees it all going down. And I said, "Yes, sir, I actually need somebody's help in dropping fries." Aww. And he looked at me and said, "Okay." So he went back, said, "Where's the apron?" And he put the apron on and started dropping fries for me. And all of a sudden he looked up and he looked out at the guy and said, "Guys, start bussing tables." And all of a sudden I had the CEO and chairman of Marriott dropping fries, and his executive team or management team, whichever one they were, bussing my tables. And when I got done, he came up to me and said, "Never be afraid to ask for help." He said, "One thing you got to remember, my name is on this building." Mm-hmm. And the customer always comes first. So whatever you have to do to serve the customer, that comes first. Everything else comes later. And that was one of the biggest lessons I've ever learned in my life, was that experience, because it told me you're never too big to do the menial jobs to make sure the customer is supported. So I carried that lesson not only through my hotel restaurant experience, but when I moved to sales, because I always took care of the customer. And at times my management thought that I was taking care of the customer too much. I was not focused on really driving the revenue. I was more focused on making sure the customer's needs were met first. But what you find out is if you meet your customer's needs, they'll come back time and time over because they have trust in you and credibility. And I always had a very high customer retention rate because of that. So that lesson from Bill Marriott in my hotel restaurant days back in 1985, really started me off on the way I was going to manage my business.
Right. That's such an amazing story. I'm glad I asked you that question. It's so amazing. And I think what I took from the hotel restaurant days, I really miss the teamwork that's in the hospitality industry. It is all about the customer experience and the attention to detail. And I really miss that about that industry. And I try to bring that into my business as well these days. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you for letting me say it, because I'm going to be speaking at the Secret Service Summit in Cleveland coming up, and it's all about customer service and how to really give outstanding customer support. I'm going to give not only share that story, but I'm also going to share the experience on U.S. Airways 1549 on how the customer was served and then how the customer potentially wasn't served. So it's going to give a contrast and hopefully share and teach some people on how to turn people into a raving fan of your brand.
Perfect. And if you wouldn't mind, you told me a short version of this story of how Tony Robbins gave you a little push out of the nest so you could go after your dream business that you're doing right now. Would you mind sharing that again with me?
No, as I think we talked about, I was with Tony for a number of years, and Tony, every time I would pick up Tony to take him to the venue where we were at, you know, he'd always say, why are you still working for that company? Why aren't you doing something for yourself? And I always came up with some lame excuse. And like I tell people, it's hard to give excuses to Tony Robbins because he doesn't handle excuses.
Yeah.
That's not his vernacular. But after the plane crash in the Hudson and I was in the hospital, he was the only person to call me that night in the hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
And we had a conversation, and you can go out on YouTube and see that video of what our conversation entailed. But, yeah, you know, I went to his event. I was still managing head of his security. So I went to his event. The next one was in Secaucus, New Jersey, which is right across the river where all this happened. And I told him that there was probably going to be more media there for me than for him. And we sort of laughed, but there was more media there for me than for him. And so that was sort of my start. He sort of started noticing that. We were having great conversations about, he was coaching me the whole time on how to deal with the media and you know, how to go about putting things together. So when we were in Chicago a little later that year, we sat down, had a heart to heart. He said, this is time, you got to go. I'm gonna find another security director so I'll force you basically to go out and live your dream because this is your time. So he pushed me basically out of the nest. I would look at it as a fire. It was like, okay, it's time for you to grow, and I'm going to make sure that you have to grow by forcing you out to do it. And it was one of the greatest lessons of my life and one of the greatest experiences because I had a mentor like him who took that much interest in me and knew that I needed that little push. I needed a little bit of certainty to be able to do it, and he was going to give me that certainty one way or another. And,
right.
it pushed me. So now I have my career, and I'm traveling around the world, you know, at a much lower level than he is, of course, because I don't have his 30 years of experience, but, you know, impacting people all over the world. And it's been a tremendous experience.
Yeah. And you're always glad after you make that leap, you're always glad that you did, but it is scary. And my whole audience is, a lot of them are on the fence about leaving their job or just making some big transition, like moving to a new state or something like that. And I guess what I wanted to know is, what advice did you have for those people that are on the fence and they just know something stirring inside them, but they don't know how to take that first step? What would you say to someone to help them get that clarity?
Well, it's sort of like when Tony talks in a firewalk is that first step. And what happened to me out of the plane crash when I had to get out in and out of the water, I had to make that move. So I what I tell folks and recommend is, you know, I had that fear likewise. And, you know, because you know, I was looking at it from, you know, how am I going to make it instead of with the opportunity in front of me? So Tony got me asking myself a different level of question. And the question I kept asking myself was, how can I add even more value and enjoy the process, which is the most important part. And so as I kept saying that to myself, I kept coming up with ideas and being more resourceful on how I could put this together. So when I made the leap, it was still a little scary, but you know, I had enough certainty that I could pull this thing off. And I knew that if I had faith in myself, because other people have faith in me, mm-hmm. I just had to have faith in myself. If you take that leap, you know, good things will happen. And I'm not gonna paint a rosy, it's gonna be rough times. You know, like I said, it's not all pixie dust and sunshine.
Yeah.
You know, but there are times if you stick it out, if you have perseverance to stick it out and resilience, you too will be able to get over that threshold and that's what happened to me. I mean, I had rocky times. Erica, the challenge I had was the opposite of most entrepreneurs. I had revenue. I could drive revenue. I'm a sales guy. I could drive revenue. It was all the other stuff that I didn't know how to do, like administration and collectibles and all that stuff. So once I figured that out and started getting things in alignment, all of a sudden it started becoming a lot easier for me to get my infrastructure set up to be able to succeed. But I had a learning experience likewise. I had to go through some challenges. It wasn't the money flow. It was collecting the money and making sure all these things were getting done. So anybody who's out there, I say, you got to have faith in yourself. You got to take that leap. And like Tony told me, you got to burn the boats. You know, once you're gone, you're gone. And you can't have that out, because I always had thought I had that out. And once I burned the boats, it's like, you know what? I don't have that out anymore. I've got to make it. So, yeah, I made it from a should to a must. Right. And that was the biggest.
I totally agree, because I tell my clients it has to be a no matter what kind of attitude.
You got it. Yeah. And that's Tony's big thing is, when he taught me and he teaches everybody, is, you know, people should all over themselves, right?
Yeah.
I should do this. I should do that. It's the people who make it a must do the thing, the people who get things done. And that's what I did. I made it a must to do this. And there were some people pushed back on me, Candace. It's like, you know, why? How can you do this? You know, why would you do this? And you're making all this money over here. I was banking it, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I knew that I had a bigger mission. And that wasn't what was my passion in life. So ultimately, I was going to die on this side. But now, even if I'm not making as much, I'm living it with passion, and I'm being around my family, and being able to contribute at a much higher level and impact. My whole thing is impacting somebody every day, impacting somebody's life, and I get to do that every day now, where before I didn't.
Right. Just putting together your dream lifestyle. That's what I'm trying to help people do on a day-to-day basis, one-to-one, is just not letting their job or their business take over their whole life. You have to do your lifestyle design first, and then your business can fit into it, because so many business ideas will fit. So that's great. I'm so glad that you've made that leap and you are getting out there, because you are impacting so many more people now.
Thank you. I tell folks, the biggest change after the miracle on the Hudson for me, it wasn't all the things that around it. It was pre-prioritizing my time, where now I schedule everything around my family outside of that. Where before it was just the opposite. I would schedule my business, my stuff, and then if I could fit my family in, I would. Now it's my family. I put all their stuff in the calendar, and then I work around that. So the prioritization changed dramatically.
And it's funny, because it always all works out. And if you put your family or what you want to do first, everything else just falls into place. And I've been realizing that more and more by adding implementation weeks and just other things to my business, studying my clients and how I like to work in myself, and just making it that way. And everything works out. Yep. People are like, can you really do that? Yes, you can really do that.
Yep.
Yeah. And, and we talked about this a little bit, but I believe that, you know, 80 to even 90% plus in the entrepreneurial game is mindset. Do you have any specific mindset practices you do, or is it just kind of something it evolved with your coaching with Tony and things like that?
Well, it definitely evolved, because I came from a corporate perspective. But, the one thing that I keep telling, I can't fail. I said, I can't fail. The only way I can fail is if I quit, and if I quit, then I'm dead. So I can't fail, because I'm not going to quit. Mm-hmm. And that's what I tell myself pretty much every day when I see not a positive thing, something that's not positive pass across my desk or my desktop. And it's like, you know what? It'd be easiest to give up and go back to the corporate world and slug it out. But you know what? That's not me. That's not my design. So if only way I can lose is if I quit. And if I don't quit, I'm going to win.
Right. And then switching gears a little bit, I know you have this big goal to speak in all 50 states. And how are you strategizing or systematizing that, or breaking it down to get it done? And then the second part of that question is, my team loves to travel and be able to work from anywhere. So if there's any tools or tricks you can help us out with, how you work from anywhere when you are traveling so much.
So great questions. I've never been asked these questions, so this is great. So, yes, I made a big goal that I would speak in every state, and I've still got about 13 states to go. But how I start putting that together is, of course, I started working with some of the agents that I work with, and of course they were putting me in certain places, but I have a great partner in the American Red Cross. And you know, I've helped them raise over $8.5 million in the last 6 years. And just by helping them raise money, they take me to places where I haven't been. So I strategize with them on an annual basis. These are the places that I haven't been yet, because my goal is to take the miracle to every state. I want every state to be able to benefit out of what happened that day to me and 154 other souls. So, you know, working with them, they have people in every state. So I can, my strategy is work with them, tell them where I need to go to be able to help them raise money. So when that area, whether it's they have a flood, a fire, an earthquake, whatever it may be, I can at least help raise some money so they can benefit. So that's how I'm strategizing to get to all 50 states. I still got 13 to go, but you know, we've really made a major impact on that. The second thing is yes, you know, since I travel like everybody else, and I traveled for business with my former company Oracle, you know, you got pretty good at, you know, using the technology. So I tell you, I try to keep a slim line, but you know, between an iPhone, an iPad, and Skype, those are pretty much are my tools that I use, and I optimize on apps that I have that help me, you know, be able to respond quickly and be able to get back to people. That's my whole thing. I've also set up a strategy which has changed this last year, Erica, where I used to have a personal assistant for many years. I no longer have a personal assistant, but I have three virtual assistants who can now work with me on certain basically projects. So I now, when I'm on the road, I can leverage somebody's, you know, my social media person's time or my publicist's time or another person's time on the marketing side and just put the game plans together with them. So I don't have to be here in my office. I know there are ones in California, ones in Louisiana, and ones in Canada. So I work the same strategy like Oracle worked across the sun, where I have somebody pretty much in every time zone. So if something needs to get done and it happens to be late at night, I can leverage the West Coast, or if it's early in the morning, I leverage the East Coast. So the working across the sun strategy I learned at Oracle definitely has helped me now as an entrepreneur.
That's a great, great strategy that hasn't been brought up before on the show, is having some support on different time zones. That's a great tip. Thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. I have actually now looking at somebody in Australia so I can handle that part of the world, because there are 13 hours difference, or 20, anywhere from 13 to 14 hour difference. So, you know, if I get someone working while I'm sleeping, that's a bigger bonus. But I haven't got there yet, though. I haven't figured that one out yet.
Right. And I noticed you didn't say laptop. And it's funny because I've been having a lot of time off lately and traveling a lot more. And I rarely open my laptop because everything is done prior or scheduled out, or I just jump on my phone here and there. And I really, you know, it would be great if I could really get this streamlined so I didn't have to lug this laptop around.
Well, you know, and I'd learned that lesson by speaking, because I would, I would take my laptop with me to speak, you know, and I'm like, you know what? It's getting to the point now where I can do everything I need on my phone and my iPad. So I made a requirement. I don't carry mine. It doesn't leave my office. So I changed from, and to force me to do that, Erica, I bought an iMac instead of in my MacBook Pro.
Okay.
So I can take it with me. So I force people to say, you know what? I'll use your technology. I've got an iPad, but we're going to use your technology. And all of a sudden, I'm carrying much less than I ever used to.
That's a really good tip.
I forced my own hand on that.
Cool. That's good. And I like how it was like a burn the ships thing again. Like, nope, I'm not lugging my desktop around. So got to deal with it. Got to force yourself.
That's right.
So switching gears to your experience on the Miracle on the Hudson, how did leadership play into the final outcome? And how does that relate to you being an entrepreneur?
Oh, another great question. So I think leaders stepped up all over that plane that day. And I just saw the movie Sully last night with my family. And I think they depicted that really well, because leaders stepped up. You know, it wasn't only Captain Sullenberger and Captain Skiles. Other people stepped up when they had to step up. And I went out the right side of the plane, but I couldn't get out of the plane because there was already people on the wing and the boat. So I was stuck inside the plane, waist deep in 36 degree water for about 6 or 7 minutes. But what I noticed on that side, and something I learned through all the training that I had, is that in most uncertain times, the person with the most certainty all of a sudden becomes the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a very uncertain time In fact, I would use the word chaotic time.
Right.
And so on the right side of the plane, all the crew went out to the left side of the plane. So the right side of the plane was passenger driven. It was people like me stepping up to give direction and help people. And there was a lot of people doing that. But I think I was one of those people that all of a sudden were giving people some certainty, because I could, you know, one of the advantages I had was, yes, I was stuck in the plane. Yes, I was waist deep in 36 degree water, but I could see the whole thing playing out. Well, other people were on the end of the wing and other parts of the wing in the boat. They couldn't see hardly anything. So at least I could see how everything was playing out. So when I had to make a move or I had to speak to somebody like the lady with the baby on the wing, I had the perspective where I could get to her where other people couldn't. So people were managing the boat. People were managing the wing. I was sort of managing from my perspective, how holding on to the boat next to the wing to make sure they had an exit path. Leaders stepped up, and everybody, we had one mission. And I tell people, it's amazing when 155 people who did not know each other, who did not care about each other, all of a sudden check their egos at the door and pull together and pull off something that had never been done in the history of aviation, ever.
Right.
It's amazing to see how quickly you can come together and pull something off when you have leaders step up and people check their egos.
Yeah, and I was just asked this on a podcast as well, something similar, because they found out that I like movies about shipwrecks and disasters and things like that. And they're like, why? That's weird. Why do you like that? And well, because that's the point where people step up and you see their real personality. That's the moment that changes everything or changes people's lives forever, what they do in those disasters, really.
Right. Your character definitely, your character and values are definitely shown at that point.
Right. And I heard, let's hear some strategies on creating your own flight plan. I read that in your paperwork and I was curious to what that was about.
Well, a lot of it's about, and thank you for asking, a lot of it's about these some of the topics we've been talking about. In my book, Moments Matter, I really go into these 12 strategies on how to create your own flight plan from not only what happened that day, but in my sales career and working with other people and other leaders from all over different industries. And a lot of creating your own flight plan, because everybody is going to face what I call their personal plane crash, the time in their life when they're going to face something in their life that's going to hit them across the face. It doesn't matter whether you're, the richest person in the world or the guy in the lowest guy on the totem pole. And you can see this playing out right now with a presidential election, with what's happening to Hillary Clinton. All of a sudden, her health issues are coming out. She's having her personal plane crash right in the middle of what's going on most important in her life right now. And you can see this playing out. So it's all how you respond. So it's how to manage your state, and which of course is called state management, getting yourself in the appropriate state for the appropriate occasion. Some people think you always have to be hyped up all the time. Well, no, that's not the appropriate state. So how do you get yourself in the appropriate state is part of, developing your own personal flight plan. How to communicate effectively. I speak about, there's three ways to communicate, primary ways to communicate: auditory, visual, and kinesthetic. Everybody communicates differently. So learning the strategies on how to communicate, all of a sudden in your flight plan, you can get things much more things accomplished by able to understand if this person talks is a more auditory talker, I need to communicate at a more auditory pace, where this person's a visual talker, I need to talk to them in a visual state. It's all about making that connection and building rapport. So those are two of the strategies, definitely around leadership. I do a lot around leadership. Creating your own flight plan is around, where opportunities do I have an opportunity to impact my mission or somebody else's mission? And when I was with General Schwarzkopf and escorting him, he really taught me about what's called mission-focused leadership and developing the mission for your flight plan, and not only employing yourself to do it, but getting the right people in the right seats on the plane to do it. I would give that sort of that metaphor where, I just talked about where I changed strategies, Erica, from a personal assistant to virtual assistants, where I can now optimize on leverage on certain skill sets to be able to get my outcomes much faster. So that's another strategy that I talk about, and how to, build your own, personal, flight plan towards your life. There's a lot of strategies, but those are probably three of the key ones I speak about.
That's so amazing. And I love the metaphor of your own personal plane crash, because I think we can all relate to that. It's, if it hasn't happened yet to you, it's going to. It's sad to say, but it probably will.
It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen in your life.
Yeah.
Which you're not ready for.
Yeah, I just went through 5 years of a plane crash probably, so it's a time to get back up in the skies now.
Get back in the seat and engage.
Yeah. And thank you so much for your time here today and all the stories. Where can listeners go to find more about you and connect? And if there's anything else you'd like to share with the audience, I would love to hear it.
Well, thank you. The best way to connect with me is on my website at davesandersonspeaks.com. I interact now with everybody personally. I don't have a personal assistant, like I mentioned. So if you contact me there, you'll get a contact straight back from me, and I'd be honored to do that. But I do a lot of my postings, of course, on my Facebook page at, Dave Sanderson Speaks. That's where you get a lot of the information about what's really going on. Twitter, of course, it was Dave Sanderson too, and that's where my little daily quips go. But the business lessons, I do one big lesson a week on LinkedIn, and I've all of a sudden started developing my LinkedIn page at David Sanderson because I'm finding out that it's more business driven, and I can share these business strategies that I have and still employ have got me from where I was in the corporate world to building my own business. And the last thing I'll share is, please just check out the movie Sully. I saw it yesterday for the first time with my family. It had a dramatic impact on me. It's very accurate to what happened that day. And I think people really start understanding how all these things that I talk about and Captain Sullenberger talks about, how it all comes together and came together that day when hell breaking loose. And you're going down for the last time, and how all of a sudden all of your, like I tell people, you got to have the humility to prepare, to have the confidence to execute in that moment. And that's what happened to him and me and other people on that plane that day, all this preparation. So that's why we do what we do. That's why we listen to podcasts. That's why we train, is to get ready for that one moment when, like my book's called, Moments Matter. All these moments, one moment's going to matter significantly in your life.
Thank you. And we'll be sure and put all these links and everything in the show notes. So if anyone's driving right now or anything, they don't have to pull over and write down all these great links and things like that. Thank you so much. And to the best success to you in the future as well.
Same to you, Erica. Thank you very much for having me. May God bless.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Pauhana Escape Artists, work is done on this episode. I would highly encourage you to pick up Dave's book, Moments Matters, to learn more about how to make the right choices when everything is on the line. Where I see a little taste of this, where moments matter, are on my newly revamped VIP Day intensives. I can't believe how much we can do and how many big shifts we can make in just one day. Plus, the locations are stunning. One uninterrupted day can accomplish so much. As we heard today with the firsthand account to someone that was in a terrifying water landing, life is short and every moment really does matter. All the links and resources for this episode will be waiting for you at ericaduran.co/72. So make every moment count for you and never settle. Ahui ho, until we meet again, sending you aloha.
Thank you for listening to The Erica Duran Show, freedom-based lifestyle design radio. Be sure to go to ericaduran.co to get all of this episode's show notes and resource links. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Never settle. Mahalo.